Good morning, Tara. Thank you, Whitney, for reading. I don't know about you, but I've appreciated having different people from Tara read the word as we begin. And a pastor once said that the only perfect part of his sermon will be in the reading of the word of the Lord. So that probably was the biggest part of that sermon right there, so we can all go home. Today we are here to talk about maturity. And I'm not sure how I was the one that was selected to be the one to preach on maturity, but nevertheless, here I am, probably because I needed to preach it to myself more than you. But more specifically, we're looking at spiritual maturity, and not emotional maturity or the more awkward physical maturity that hopefully you learned in fifth or sixth grade, or you will learn in fifth and sixth grade. But we're more zeroing in on what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 3 as he was teaching us about the division that is happening within the church at that time and what it means to be a mature follower of Christ. And if we look very closely at this passage, we see some of the problems with why there is a lack of spiritual maturity. We can see in verse 4, right in the very beginning, how the Corinthians are chasing after people instead of chasing after Christ. And then also in verse 18, we see the way worldly wisdom is being sought after. And there are plenty, numerous temptations for us to pursue after that will only lead to destruction. But there is only one path that leads to salvation, the cross of Christ. And today I want us to focus primarily on these three sections on this theme of spiritual maturity. And the roadmap looks something like this. The practices of a spiritually mature believer, the problems we can detect in a spiritually immature follower of Christ, and lastly, looking at the path to take towards spiritual maturity when we have veered off course into spiritual maturity. And that's where we find ourselves. As Christ's followers, as people of God, we should be consistently growing in our faith, becoming more like Jesus, and at the same time, we need to be helping others become more like Jesus. We should be about the business of making more and better disciples of Jesus, and not just focusing on making more disciples, but better disciples. And you may have heard that one or two times here at Tara before, and that is why we place such an emphasis on being a part of a tribe and doing life together in community with each other. So we're going to pray, and then we're gonna get at this thing today. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, we know that you give us all things that we need for life to sustain our lives in your word. God, please let us not look at your word as this old document, this old dusty book that has no relevance to our lives today, but that we would see it as the most relevant words for us, that we would take in your word that you have breathed out to us, and that we would use it to change our lives to be more like Jesus. That, Father, we would see your words and never can say that this has no purpose for us, but that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that your word was written for us. Father, open up our eyes to see it. Let our hearts be open to receive your word, and that our lives would be changed because of your word. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So in order for a spiritually mature Christian to grow in their faith and to be more like Jesus because of it, we need to be working on these three specific areas in our lives. And these things are of a vital importance to have for a healthy walk with Jesus. Time in his word, time in prayer, and also time in community. We need all three to have a vital, growing faith in Jesus. Spending time reading the Bible should be a daily part of our lives. And I'm sure that goes without saying. If you're here, you probably heard that numerous times, that spending time in the Word is vital. And whether we're taking the first minutes of our days in the morning or at the close of our days and we're coming before Him, we should make that a priority for us. And if we are choosing to fit it in whenever there is a free moment, well, then that moment is less likely to happen for us, because we tend to be people who schedule every minute of our days. And if we don't actually plan for time with God in His Word, well, we're going to fill that slot with something of much less importance. And I think sometimes we can actually place a higher priority on the written word of man than we do on the written word of God. So yes, it is good for us to have other books to read. It is good for us to be in devotions. But if we're supplementing that with God's word, then great. But if we're replacing it with God's word, then that's a problem. Possibly the same situation is actually happening here in chapter 3 as Paul is talking to the Corinthians and what they're following. He said, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. You see, these are just men being used by God. They're servants being used by God to bring people to Himself. And the only way that we can have healthy growth is by going to the grower Himself. You see, oftentimes we find more delight in the creation more than we find in the Creator Himself. In 2 Timothy, you can follow along here, chapter 3, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So really, we need not add anything to God's word. It is everything that we need to be complete and whole. And as a result of spending time in His Word, we'll learn it and we'll know it. So in those moments of trials and temptations, we can recall God's Word. As it's read in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's wise for us to spend time in the scriptures and knowing His word and knowing it in your heart so that you can recall that. And by having a consistent time with Him, it will cause us to want to spend more time with Him. And then when we don't have those moments, when we have filled our days and they are completely full and we don't really have time in His word, well, we can pray His word because it's hidden in our heart now. So we should be spending time reading and talking to Him in prayer, because in Psalm 145, we read, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Our Father wants us to call out to Him. We also see in Philippians 4, the Lord is telling us to come before Him in prayer with everything. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. But why should we do this? Because He cares for you. You read that specifically in 1 Peter 5, but we also see it in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. For which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Whenever I read that passage, we have three boys, so I think to myself, when he is constantly asking for bread because he loves bread for some reason, what would it look like if I handed him a stone? They don't like fish, but I would assume that would be quite hilarious if they asked me for a fish and I gave him a serpent. I'll try that sometime. So we read God's word, and then we cry out in prayer to the one who cares deeply for us. And finally, we need to be people who are living in community with other believers. And that is why being a part of a tribe, which is a small group here at Terra Nova, why that is so crucial. Intentional discipleship is something that happens in these groups and in those times that we're having together. People from all walks of life following after the same Jesus, living out the gospel for each other to see. And in Proverbs 27, it encourages us to support our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to have a deeper walk. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, because we're not meant to walk this journey alone. In Proverbs 18, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. And when we try to go it alone, we leave ourselves open for the enemy to pick us off. But rather, we should take the words of the Apostle Paul to heart when he writes in Hebrews 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If you're someone here today at Terra and you don't feel connected, that you've been coming and you don't see a spot where you feel in community with other believers, I want to encourage you to talk to me or one of the other pastors here or someone that you may have seen up on the stage here, because our goal isn't that you come here and you leave and there's no connection, there's no community, there's no relationship that you have built. We want you to be a part of this. This is a family. We want you to be here engaged both in serving, a part of a tribe where you're growing closer to each other as well as growing closer to Jesus. We want you to be a part. So don't feel isolated. Don't feel like you're all alone. Please connect with someone. So if we have these three areas, we have the time in the Word, we have time in prayer, and we have time in community, how do you see yourselves in those areas of your life? Are these areas that you see yourself flourishing in? Or do you find yourself in this spiritual rut and you're not sure what to do? We're going to get more into what to do if you feel that you're in a spiritual rut a little bit later. And if we are more aware of the ways to be more like Jesus because of what we just learned in the journey that it takes to go through spiritual maturity, what does it look like if someone is not spiritually mature? And there are more signs than the three that I'm going to list here, but these I feel are major red flags for people you may see, or you might even notice it in yourself. Dismissing wise counsel, having a deficiency of character, and divisiveness. See, the book of Proverbs is filled with warnings against rejecting wise counsel, calling them fools, and what the consequences are for them. And I just have three for us to kind of digest and take in, but you should pour through the Proverbs and see if that is something that you are struggling with. This is Proverbs 1, 28 through 33 says, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread or disaster. And Proverbs 13 says, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. And then lastly, in Proverbs 10, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. And I think it goes without saying that not only should we heed the advice of godly, wise men and women, but we should actually be seeking out those people so that they can actually speak hard truths and wisdom into the areas of life that we might not be really aware of. And sometimes our pride is the thing that gets in the way of hearing these hard truths. Because we don't want to appear foolish or dumb. But it is far worse to dismiss the wisdom of someone God has placed in your life for such a time as this, just so that you can keep up a good appearance. You see, God calls us to be humble people. In James 4, it says just that. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We often have a difficult time seeing our own sinful parts of our life, the blind spots in our life, those things that keep us from having a journey growing towards being more like Jesus. And this is most obviously seen in our character flaws sometimes, which is another reason why it is important to have these kinds of men and women in your lives to speak the hard truths and the words of wisdom that others won't say. And I'm not going to go down the road of every possible character weakness that a spiritually immature person may have, because in all honesty, that may take us a while. But rather, I'm talking about the ones that stunt our spiritual growth and cause it in some ways to go backwards. Things like being lazy, selfish, self-righteous, prideful, lustful, egotistical, envious, untrustworthy, spiteful, stubborn, rebellious, indifferent, and being someone who gossips. And the list goes on. And I'm sure you might even be thinking of things that I didn't even name, that you're thinking of people that you know in your life. And maybe you are someone who's unaware of the weaknesses in your life. Consider this a challenge for you today. Find someone that is willing to speak hard truth to you and the hard things about you in your life that people don't want to say or aren't willing to say. Be willing to set aside your fears and your worries about what they might think of you. Because if they really knew who you are, there's no way they could love you. Don't be satisfied with a mundane spiritual life and ignoring your deficiencies. I want to encourage those of you here today that maybe you actually recognize the areas of weakness in your own life, but you are unwilling to change who you are. I want to encourage you to seek out someone that can help you walk through this hard place and allow them to be real with you and to challenge you in these areas that you are unwilling to change so that you can have a life truly centered on Christ, pursuing him with your whole heart. Because oftentimes when we are not pursuing Christ wholeheartedly, we find ourselves being discontent with the way things are. And that can either cause us to see the change that needs to happen, or we can choose to be divisive and try to change those around us more than we want to change ourselves. And where this becomes a spiritual matter is when it involves the church and the body of Christ. We've heard Pastor Ed teach on these ideas of the essentials of being a follower of Christ, the polity, which is the house rules within an individual church, and then the liberty that is extended to all believers. We should never allow division to happen in those things that we hold with closed hands, those essential matters that we have as believers. We don't waver in those things. However, if you are someone who is unhappy with how a certain church operates, maybe with how things are done, the order of service, the singing that happens, it's not your job to change that church or to gossip to the other congregants of that church about why this or that should change. Maybe what's going on is that this isn't the right place for you. Maybe there's something in you that needs to change in order to be okay with the place that you are. So if you're someone that recognizes that in yourself and you're doing that, please stop. The church does not gain anything from you being divisive within the church. And if you're someone that recognizes that, but you are unable or unwilling to stop, please, please talk to one of the pastors and seek out wise counsel, because we are at least, should be, and we are all on the same team. We're all on Team Jesus. So if you're here today, and some of this is maybe ringing home a little too true for you, and you're having discouraging feelings, or you're feeling down, I want to encourage you. You don't have to sit in that. God did not send Jesus to die for you so that you could feel discouraged. Christ died so that you have newness of life. And 2 Corinthians 5 is for you today. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, God bless you, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, we have Christ, who is the high priest, who intercedes on our behalf. So what should we do? We should confess to Christ. See, there is hope for anyone here today that believes they have fallen into that spiritual rut. Or maybe you don't even know where to start. Start by finding someone you can trust. If you are in a tribe, reach out to a person in your tribe. Don't let it go. If you're not in a tribe, find someone here that you trust and you respect. Maybe someone that invited you here. Start confessing the areas of your life that you have kept hidden for far too long. Confess to a brother and a sister. Confess to Christ. Be willing to let your guard down and let people see you for who you really are. Don't let pride be your undoing. If we are to be the body of Christ, we should live transparently before those around us that we call brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we see this in 1 John chapter 1. And when it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And likewise in James 5, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So not only should we be confessing to one another and to the Lord, but we should be calling out to God, crying out to Christ. As I mentioned in the beginning, a sign of a mature follower of Christ is one who is constantly calling out to the Father. And not only is this something that we should be doing to make straight our path out of the spiritual rut, but we are needing to do this in order to stay on the path of spiritual maturity. Making it a part of our daily life is critical. And you know what? We don't need to be these people that have these elaborate, lengthy prayers. We can just have a conversation with him. We can just talk with him. You can use the things in your day that you find maybe have no meaning or purpose, and you can infuse the prayers with happening. Let's like take your car ride to work. You can be praying then. Maybe getting ready in the morning, you can be praying. Shoot, even use the time that you're waiting for Fortnite to load to be praying. That one was for Sky. God wants to have a relationship with you. And I've yet to see a relationship that flourishes when you have spent no time with them. Hebrews 4 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Continue to develop the routine of bringing anything and everything to your Heavenly Father who loves you and sent his Son to die for you. Which brings us to that final piece, Christ. He is our everything, our risen Savior. He is the firm foundation that we put everything on. Colossians 1 spells this out pretty clearly for us. He, being Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him, Christ, and for him, Christ. And he, Christ, is before all things. And in him, Christ, all things hold together. I don't know about you, but when I read these words, I can't help but find great comfort in knowing that this is the man that died for you and for me. So when you find yourselves sinking into a place where you can't see clearly, remember to fix your gaze on the cross. Without a clear view of the cross and what Christ has done for us, we miss everything. Let us be people. Let us be a church that continues to point others to the only thing and the only one that matters, the cross and the Christ. It's all about him, and it's all for him. That's the only way we should be living. And it's not going to be easy. If anybody told you that, they lied. It's going to be hard, and it's going to take work. And I think A.W. Tozer sums it up properly with this quote. "The amount of loafing practiced by the average Christian in spiritual things would ruin a concert pianist if he allowed himself to do the same thing in the field of music. The idle puttering around that we see in church circles would end the career of a big league pitcher in 1 week. No scientist could solve his exacting problem if he took as little interest as the rank and file of Christians take part in the art of being holy. The nation, whose soldiers were as soft and undisciplined as the soldiers of the churches, would be conquered by the first enemy that attacked it. Triumphs are not won by men or women in easy chairs." Men and women, and yes, even children here. Don't settle for the bare minimum in following after Christ. Never settle for giving God the smallest amount of your free time to pray and to read his word. Don't settle for choosing comfort and convenience when you are engaging and living in community with the body of Christ. We are called to so much more than that. Galatians 2 says this for you today. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." I'm going to invite the band to come back up as we move into this time of communion together, remembering what Christ has done for us. And if you're here today and you're wondering, how can I come up and take communion? Well, I would encourage you to use these songs to do the business with God that you need to do. The things that maybe the Spirit was convicting in you this morning, allow God to speak into that and how he would want you to change and be more like Jesus because of your conviction. Don't let this pass. Don't let this be something that you remember today but forget tomorrow. Allow the Spirit to work and move and to move you to a place where you're more like Jesus and you want to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you sent us your Son so that we could celebrate this time together, so that we need not be people who stay discouraged, who stay in our sin, but that we are willing to move out and to be the people that you have called us to. That we spend time in your word, we spend time in prayer, and we spend time with other believers and community, Father. I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that the week ahead, you would use your words to make a change in our lives. Let us see Jesus as the most important thing, the only thing, and our everything. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.